We are delighted to welcome Barwon Health Foundation as sponsors of Room 64. If you would like to support palliative care services at Barwon Health, please contact the Barwon Health Foundation at barwonhealthfoundation.org.au.
Welcome to Room 64, everybody. And in this episode of Room 64, I'd like to welcome Kat Donnell. Thanks very much for joining us today, Kat. I really appreciate it. And Kat's joined us today to talk about her experience and her husband, Brett Smith, who died on the 29th of December 2020. 22, and Kat's going to talk about her experience with the Barwon Health palliative care team and the services provided through Barwon Health, palliative care mainly. Kat, what I might get you to do, if you wouldn't mind, is just to introduce us to Brett and tell us a little bit about him and about your family.
Sure. Thanks for having me, Christine. It's lovely to be able to give back in this way to a podcast that gave me a lot of information prior to Brett going into palliative care. It was great, so thanks. Brett was my husband, and what can you say about somebody who was such an adventurous, kind-hearted, big personality, friend to everyone, just an amazing man, a wonderful father, a wonderful husband. You know, we just loved him, and we love him, and we still miss him so much.
He was a surfer, is that right?
He was a surfer, carpenter, traveller, artist.
So where did he surf, just out of interest?
Usually down around Barwon Heads, Torquay, that sort of area. Having had three kids in the last 14 years, it did curtail his surfing ambitions lately, but we had a great holiday before he died up to a place called Potato Point north of Naruma in October last year, and he surfed every day with two of his best friends, Des and Mick, which was wonderful.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great. So do you just want to perhaps tell us a little bit about the experience you had with the Barwon Health palliative care team and how that came about and how you found the whole palliative care experience?
Sure. Brett was, he had melanoma, which metastasized. He was diagnosed in 2016 and managed his treatment quite well out of hospital a lot. He was in and out of hospital with various operations over the years and different treatments, but when his cancer metastasized at the end of 2021, that's when things really kicked up a gear. So during 2022, he was quite unwell and in and out of hospital trying different treatments. Palliative care was first mentioned to us in November of 2022, maybe late October. He was having palliative radiation. So that was the first time we heard the term palliative attached to Brett's treatment. He was inducted into the palliative care team through Barwon Health in November 2022. We had a lady come out to the house. I've forgotten everyone's names. I've forgotten a lot. There's a lot of brain cells that aren't working anymore. But just all really wonderful people. So we had an interview here, which was the intake. It wasn't really until Brett was discharged from hospital. He had a stint in hospital during December, which was trying to get his pain under control and some issues with nausea and vomiting. He was released into palliative care in the home. So Brett wanted to be at home. He didn't want to die at home, but he really wanted to come home. He'd been in and out of hospital so much in December. So, yeah, it was palliative care at home, and they were fantastic. They couldn't be more helpful, would come to the house very quick. And considering also that he was released from hospital on the 23rd of December, going into that holiday period and public holidays, the care was seamless.
And I think that's one of the things that I noticed about the palliative care team. It doesn't matter when you're accessing it, it's all the same. And seamless is a good word, but also that whole thing around them being such a caring, responsive group of people.
Yeah, just amazing. You never felt as though anything was too much trouble or that they were hurrying off to the next job that they had to get to. They would spend the time to make sure you were comfortable and always left with it. If you need anything, just call us, we'll come back. Yeah. You know, it doesn't matter.
And you could have rung them 5 minutes later and they would have come back.
Absolutely.
Pretty good.
Yeah, amazing.
Look, just before we get too further down the conversation, can you just remind me again how old Brett was? Because I think that's a really important thing, especially in relation to the fact that he had the melanoma.
Yeah.
I think that's a really important message.
Yeah, Brett was only 50 when he died, far too young. He was diagnosed with melanoma when he was 43. So at the prime of his life, he was a healthy working man with, you know, we have three children and, you know, when he was diagnosed when he was 43, our youngest Sid was only, he was nearly three. So we had a 3, a 5 and a 7 year old. So, look, it was a shock when he was diagnosed, but unfortunately to me it wasn't a surprise. Brett had lived his life in the sun. He was a surfer, as you mentioned. He was a carpenter. He worked outdoors and sadly didn't take looking after his skin seriously, as a lot of people don't do. Melanoma is the second most common cancer in men. It is the first most common cancer in people aged 20 to 40 and the third most common cancer in women. So we've got a real problem in this country whereby we are of that Celtic, Anglo-Celtic background, blue eyes. Brett was high risk. He had blue eyes. He didn't have red hair, but when his beard grew, he had a bit of ginger in his beard. And I think Brett's cancer was always quite aggressive. He had had a skin check in the year or so previous to his melanoma being discovered. He was playing with something on his head quite a bit. I'd noticed that he was fiddling with the top of his head and I said, "What are you doing?" You know, and he's like, "Oh, I've got this thing on my head. It's really annoying me." And I was like, "Oh, well, go and get it checked." So I booked skin checks for both of us because we were due. He went in and had his in the morning and he said, "Oh, he wants me to come back in the afternoon and have your appointment. He wants to biopsy this thing on my head." And I was like, "Okay, no worries." Came back as positive for melanoma. It had already spread into his lymph nodes. So I think it was always quite aggressive. So he had the primary site taken from his scalp. So that involved a skin graft from his leg as well. And then he had a neck dissection to take all of the lymph nodes out in the left-hand side. So I think people think, "Oh, skin cancer, you just get it cut out." Well, no. So it was a game of Chasey really after that. And Brett had the benefit of some really amazing new drugs. The immunotherapy drugs had just sort of come on. When he was diagnosed, a lot of people know about Jared Roughead. Jared Roughead had a melanoma removed from his lip, but his had metastasized and gone into his lung pretty quickly. So he was put on the double immunotherapy Ipi-Nivo, which worked for him. The Ipi-Nivo immunotherapy treatments only have about a 50% success rate. It is a really brutal treatment. Much like chemo, it really knocks people around. So Brett had several other operations over the years. He had twice he had cancerous lumps removed from his neck. He had radiation. Brett's cancer metastasized. He was clear for times, but yeah, when it metastasized at the end of 2021, that was really the game changer.
And I know we said before we started recording, you know, that's one of the important messages you wanted to get across, was that importance of sunscreen, hats, you know, covering up in the sun. It's that's just a really, really profound message for us to be able to get across.
Yeah. Stop glamorizing tanning.
Yeah.
You know, for us who grew up in the 70s and 80s, it's you know, we need to be getting our skin checks, take it seriously, get your skin checked every year, find out if you're high risk or low risk. Brett did have moles, so that made him a bit more high risk. Yeah, so just be really vigilant and safe in the sun.
Yeah, yeah. Great message. Thank you. Thank you very much.
No worries.
In terms of the palliative care, you said you dealt with the community palliative care team, but also the palliative care at home team, and we talked about how great they are. Like, I think they're wonderful to my mum but I just want to go back a little bit. You mentioned about this was the first time we heard the word palliative. I don't know about you, but when I first heard that, the word palliative, when I was dealing, you know, with palliative care in terms of the service that my mum got, it was like, what do you mean? Like, I had no understanding of what, like, we all know what the word palliative means, but what does that mean in Barwon? What does that mean to me as someone who's going to be using the service? I guess we're relatively intelligent and have, you know, relatively good community connections, but I'd never had to experience palliative care before.
Yeah, I mean, I had a little bit of experience. My brother had died from cancer in 2022 as well, in April. So whereas he had been kind of in and out of palliative care a little bit. He'd spent some time at Grace McKellar, then he went back into a nursing home. So I had heard the term. And in regards to Brett, when I heard the term palliative, you know it's end-of-life care. You know they're not going to get better. Mm-hmm. So that is a, you know, your stomach just hits the deck. It's like, okay, so here we are.
And so, yes, it is about end-of-life care, but do you think as well, in terms of the service that Barwon Health provides, yes, their focus is on making your end-of-life as
comfortable.
As comfortable as they possibly can. But they're also there for family as well, aren't they?
Yeah. You know, yeah, they're amazing. There was a lot of services that kick in as far as sort of social services. And one thing that we had, which was fantastic, was a gentleman by the name of Jeremy Palmer gave Brett something that's known as dignity therapy. So he spent some time with Brett in hospital and interviewed him about his life. And that was something that Brett wanted to do in order to give the children a book and a sense of who he was as a person and a man, being that our children are quite young. How do you portray that and give them that into the future? So, yeah, Jeremy and I are currently finishing that book, and he's been amazing even just to me in our conversations. He's also a certified grief counsellor. It's a really holistic package, I think, with the palliative care Barwon Health team. They look after the families and the patient. It cross-pollinates really seamlessly. And I think even post-care, you know, you have the ability to go to them and be referred on for grief counselling and that sort of thing. So
it's a great service.
Oh, amazing.
We're so lucky to have it in Barwon.
We are.
It's just a great service. We are. As you say, it's that holistic approach, isn't it? It's not just about that person's end of life, and it doesn't just finish there. It's that whole package, that whole wraparound service and support that they provide.
Yeah.
We're very fortunate.
We are, yeah. So nothing's too much trouble again. Yeah. If you just mention, you know, anything, they'll say we can do that, or they'll point you in the right direction to get that assistance. It was just amazing.
That dignity therapy, it's really about putting Brett's life into a book or into a story.
So Jeremy interviewed Brett, and then they transcribe it, and Jeremy has been over to the house back in March, and he read the document to me, and you can really hear Brett's voice. Like, it was really, like, I'm getting emotional now thinking about it. Yeah. But it's just beautiful.
Yeah, that's great. Well done. Fantastic. It's never good. It's never good. So, look, I really appreciate
that's okay. No, it's something that's been close to the surface in the last couple of weeks because Jeremy and I and her have been working on finishing the book in order to give it to our children for Father's Day.
Wow. What a great thing to do. That's a great idea.
Yeah, it'll be the first Father's Day, and I was like, oh, what are we going to do? And then I thought, right, I'm going to – as hard as it's been, and I think I knew I put it off for a while because I knew it was going to be tough.
Yep.
But to do it and give it to the kids as a gift.
What a nice thing to
do. Brett was somebody who – he never made a fuss about his birthdays or a Father's Day or whatever. The kids talk about one day when it was his birthday and he took them out and bought them skateboards. You know, he was very –
nice.
Just very low-key, very grounded, you know.
That's great.
So Father's Day, Mother's Day, we're never made big fusses about them. It's like, yeah, let's just go and have a walk or – whatever.
Low-key and grounded.
Very low-key, yeah.
And they're the sorts of people we want in our lives.
Yeah, exactly.
That's great.
Yeah.
Fantastic. So the other thing we mentioned or that you mentioned earlier was you talked about – this was before we started recording – you talked about Indigenous sound healing. Can you just tell me a little bit about that?
Of course. Brett, as part of his work, he was a teacher at the Gordon for many, many years. And in the last couple of years, he was working as a Indigenous Pathways teacher, and he was always involved in the Indigenous community in Geelong. He had a lot to do with Narana out on Grovedale. He built the big boomerang as you drive down Torquay Road.
Yeah, biggest
boomerang in the Southern Hemisphere. Oh, that's what I claim. I'm yet to be proven wrong.
So, great.
So he had some really lovely connections with the Indigenous community in Geelong, and a friend of his, Michael Cousins, who is a kinesiologist and Indigenous healer, had done a sound healing with Brett back in April last year when Brett had just come out of hospital one time. So Michael had been over to the house and wanted to do a sound healing for Brett and I. We got married in the local park just down the road from here, but we never were able to get down there and do it. Lots of other things got in the way. So when the day Brett died, unknowingly, we didn't know he was going to die that day, but I knew things were getting close to the end. He was quite sedated. I asked Michael if he'd come around and do a sound healing for us. At this stage, Brett was being cared for over at his mum's place in East Geelong, and Michael came to the house and just did a didgeridoo. He just played the didgeridoo underneath Brett's bed. So he was very heavily sedated. He was basically unconscious. But it was a beautiful thing for myself and Brett and Michael just to do for, you know, half an hour. He played the didge, maybe not that long. Underneath the bed, and you could tell that Brett could hear it and was enjoying it. You could see his eyes moving under his eyelids, and his eyebrows were moving, and he had fairly prominent eyebrows. If anyone, it was a strong feature of his face. Yep. I really believe that did help move Brett on. He wasn't religious in any way. He was spiritual and he really identified with Indigenous spirituality. He really loved the way that they looked at land and culture and, country. I should probably say more country, And I actually do think that helped Brett move Brett on that day. He died later on that evening around about 7 o'clock.
That would have been lovely.
Oh, it was gorgeous, yeah. And Michael played also at his memorial service, at the end of his memorial service, and just really powerful. What a beautiful instrument. A beautiful man to do that for us.
So we'll start to wind up. Is there anything else that you wanted to get across?
Just you know, I know the extended family, like Brett's mum and his stepdad, where he ended up, he died in their home, were really appreciative of the care that the palliative care nurses and doctors as well, because we did have doctors come to the house, the care that they gave Brett in those final couple of days when he was there, and the care taken just to explain what they're doing, what's happening, the drug regimen, like the drugs he was on was significant at the end of his life, and really throughout the 7 years that he was being battling melanoma. And I think that pharmaceutical merry-go-round that you get on, that he just could not get off of. I'd really like that people take, you know, we're aware of that, take it seriously, that melanoma is a preventable cancer. You know, you just need to look after yourself and to get that message out. Not that I doubt that any 15-year-olds will be listening to the palliative care podcast.
Don't think.
Maybe, you never know. Maybe they will, but just to get that message out to everyone to, yeah, look after their skin, get their skin checks. And I suppose just a thank you to you, Christine, because I listened to the back catalogue of your palliative care, of your Room 64 podcast. It's a one way that I ingest a lot of information, because I drive, well, previous to Brett dying, I was driving to Melbourne for work a lot, so I'd put podcasts on. But it actually helped educate me in a space that I didn't know much about.
Fantastic.
And to prepare me for that transition. And I started listening to it months before we'd really, you know, heard that word palliative care. I was fairly aware of how things were going for Brett. We tried not to lose hope for Brett, but we were also preparing. We were hoping for the best, but preparing for the worst. And that, for me, was, you know, I'm a very pragmatic, sensible person. I work in the fire brigade. I deal with death as part of my job. I actually firmly believe we're all only 6 inches away from death. So that was part of why I wanted to do this podcast today, was, yeah, to say to people as well, think about death, think about your own death, because it was difficult for Brett to talk about. It would have been much better when you're well, talk about your death. What sort of a death do you want to have? Because we are all going there, yeah. And pretending that it's not happening is...
It's not very good, is it?
Well, it's not.
Not productive.
It's not productive. And having come out, you know, starting to sort of come out the other side of it, you can make things a lot easier for your loved ones if you are a little bit organised and... it doesn't take much. Write down some wishes, things like that.
And I think that's a really good point, Kat. It doesn't take much.
No.
Just have some conversations.
That was it.
Have some conversations and write a few things down. It doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to be sad or depressing.
That's it.
Just to have some conversations.
Yeah, and I think it's better to do it when you're healthy, because then you do take the emotion out of it. For Brett and I, we spoke a little bit about stuff, but not much, because it was very challenging for him when he knew he probably didn't have very long left. I did talk to our kids about it, you know, throughout the year to say that Dad's cancer has come back and it's not looking good, but to prepare them, because, yeah.
And I think we've got to give the kids impacted in this, you know, in death, we've got to give them the credit of getting, helping them through it.
Absolutely.
Helping them to understand it now, you know, and talk about it. They're our future. They need to be knowing that it's okay to talk about
that's
this.
It. And they know, they're not silly. They can read a household when it's becoming stressed and anxious everything, and it all flowed on to them. That was one other thing I'd just like to mention is how Canteen were great for me.
Yeah.
Just in talking to having access to a psychologist just on the phone to bounce things off about how to talk to the kids and what sort of things to say.
So Just for those who don't know, and look, I'm very aware of Canteen. Can you just explain what Canteen is?
Sure. Canteen is it's a service for, they look after kids with cancer, but they also look after families who are being impacted by cancer. So maybe a parent has cancer, in our case, how Brett had cancer, and they'll look after the whole family. So if it's a brother or sister or however it goes.
So it's like a support network.
Yeah, support network. Yeah. And even for teenagers, so Canteen, our daughter, she didn't really access it much. She was a bit hostile towards it. Not hostile, but just... that's the wrong word, a bit didn't want to go into therapy. I suppose it's hard for them to go, all right, this is where we're at now. But they did do an intake interview with Canteen. So there is support services for children and for families. And as I said, I made great use of it by chatting to, she would have been a social worker, I imagine, just chatting to her and being able to bounce things off and how to talk to the kids about what was going on with Brett. And Brett spoke to her as well once or twice. It did help him. He found it very confronting to have to talk to the kids about what was happening with him. It was really hard for him to do that. But he did in the end, he was able to have a conversation with our 14-year-old or 13-year-old at the time. Like she was,
yeah,
she
sure.
She could process what was happening more than the younger two, I suppose. Yeah. We're very lucky. There's a lot of resources available to families. And I know now through maybe listening to your palliative care podcast, Wombat's Wish.
Yes, yeah,
I'm getting involved with them, and there's
great.
I really want to do a camp at the end of the year for the children, a bereavement camp.
Yep.
And there's another one that's Australia wide, Feel the Magic. So they do some online stuff as well, which is good.
But that's good. Oh,
yeah,
great.
It's all slowly.
Yeah.
But they're, you know, we're just so lucky. There's so many resources.
And Barwon Health, I think, has got the capacity or the wherewithal, the foresight, I think, to connect us to those resources, however you want them as well. You know, like not everyone wants to access all the resources that are available to them, but they're there if you need them.
That's it, yeah.
Which is fantastic.
Yeah, you just have to ask
and
they'll show you what you want.
Well, I reckon we might finish up there.
Thanks, Christine.
I can't thank you enough, Kat. It's been lovely to meet you.
Lovely to
meet you. And have this chat. And thank you so much for listening to Room 64. I can't believe it.
I better rate and review you.
Yeah, that'd be good. That would be really good.
I don't think I have, yeah.
In fact, anybody out there, if you could rate and review us, that'd be fantastic.
And subscribe.
Yes, subscribe. Get us on the, I don't know what it would be called. What is it called?
Hottest 100.
That's it, yeah. That would be really good. How impressive. Look, thank you very much. And thanks, everyone, for listening to Room 64. And it's been a pleasure to have you here with me today, Kat. So thanks a lot. And that's it from me. And we'll see you next time. Thank you.